WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this: the result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
The Raw Post Show presents, as always, by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can support the channel by hitting that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop, hashtag ad, because hashtag epic partner. Just going to get them all out there at the top. Because I am Sir Rockin', joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Hey! They did some things tonight that we need to talk about, because stuff happened.
Storylines advanced on this show, more ways than one. But before we get to the positives, I want to talk about negative from this show. I know it's not right to talk about negative first, but we're going to get it out of the way. All right, so your opening contest was Asuka, Mandy Rose, and Dana Brooke versus Alina, Natalya, and Lana. One, it looked weird. Natty didn't have anything on her hands and on arms. Looked weird. She usually has, like, I don't know, whole wrist gimmick.
Like gloves or arm covers or something like that. Gauntlets or
whatever you want to call them. They were missing time. That's not the issue. Mandy got the win for her team. Solid match. Nothing. Not complaining about the match. Afterwards, as Natty was checking on Lana, Nia and Shayna Baszler came out, and, well, Zelina escaped, but Natalya took a beating. Shayna pulled off the cover of the announce table. And then Nia was looking to put Natty through the table, but Lana stops her, and then Lana goes through the table again.
I'm trying to understand with Nia and Shayna what they're doing. Like, I'm trying to make sense of it, but it's honestly not making any sense because they had a direction, and now it seems like they don't really have a direction because there's no women's tag team for them to wrestle. Like, there's no division there because all the tag teams are either broken up or they're just not even being entertained as a chance. And case in point, Natty and Lana, it wasn't the greatest gimmick, and I think we all got tired of it after a while. But they had a team, and they could have been credible. And instead, they're, like, repeatedly, in particular, picking on Lana because, gee, I wonder why. Like, it's getting really suspect at this point why Lana continues to get basically murdered every week on national television. Could it be that her husband's in another company and they're pissed that her husband's in another company? I have to wonder about that. Like,
I don't think it's that they're pissed that he's in another company. It's that he took a shot the first week he was in said company.
Okay, so you take a shot back and then you leave her the hell alone. Like, this is the third or fourth time since he showed up that this has happened to her, where it's not even a beatdown. It is a beatdown where she gets Samoan dropped through a table, the announce table.
If the whole point of the story is I'm supposed to feel sorry for Lana, I'm starting to feel sorry for the heel. That's not the story you want to tell.
I don't think I'm supposed to feel sorry for Lana. I think I'm supposed to be amazed at the power of Nia Jax. But it's like, here's the thing. Shayna and Nia Jax really don't do anything for me together. They don't really move that needle. And the fact that they continue to pick on Lana week in and week out is like, can you lay off of her? Like, okay, I'm really sorry you're upset about her husband taking a shot, or you're really upset in general, or you're just using her as a scapegoat or something. But lay off her. Leave her alone. You know what? Where is someone else that they can beat up? Can you not put together another tag team? Could you maybe, I don't know, put the Iconics back together? Although that doesn't seem to be a thing because Peyton Royce is banished. And Billy Kay, I think, is on main event. But can you find someone else for them to destroy? And then there's, you know, the other case in point, which is the Riot Squad, which...
Put the belts on the Riot Squad. Put them on them. They had a great match. The match was really good. Shayna worked really well in the match. Nia was just there. She was okay. It's just, I love the selling of Ruby. She sold the crap out of that match. Holy crap. She was awesome. She did. Ruby was awesome. Liv was really good too. Just give them a effing chance. I tell you what, just put the rocket on them. They would do some great things. Because they're two friends who have it together.
I mean, it's like they started to push it. They went to this whole effort of putting the Riot Squad back together, right? Like, it was a whole story of Liv and Ruby making amends and getting back together and learning to trust each other again. And they keep getting put in these opportunities because they're one of the only women's tag teams left on Raw, aside from Natty and Lana. And they keep getting title shot after title shot after title shot, as they should, because they're very good, but it's like they keep losing. But yeah, you're not really doing anything more with Nia and Shayna beyond. They really don't like each other, but they have the titles, so they're just going to continue to defend the titles. And I don't know, and it's just like this rolling progression of just nothingness, where there's no real story there, there's no real energy. Like, you want to root for the Riot Squad, and we do root for the Riot Squad because we want them to win. We want them to win to the titles because they've worked extremely hard to get there. Not that Nia and Shayna haven't, but...
No, they haven't worked to get there to be tag champs. They're good. They were singles wrestlers. Ruby and Liv have come together as a tag team before they were broken up and back together. They've worked their ass off to become really good as a team together. The chemistry is there.
And yet they're here. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. It's like the tag divisions in general are just foobarred. And they have been for about 8 months to a year, where they just don't generally give a crap about the tag divisions. And they just, especially the women's, because at one point there was a huge push to get a women's tag title. And there were a lot of female tag teams, and now there are virtually none. They've broken them all up.
You broke up Mandy and Sonya to make Mandy and then a tag team with Dana, which may change coming Friday on SmackDown. Who knows? You had Bayley and Sasha. That had to break up because it was about time. You had Alexa and Nikki, and that's
in the process of breaking up.
Yeah, so it's like Alexa and Nikki and Bayley and Sasha did wonderful job with the tag titles this summer. They held the division down. There was a real constant effort to use them. Then it's like, okay, you put Nia and Shayna together, and yes, they're doing stuff, but it's like, Nia's not interesting. I'm sorry, she's not.
I mean, like I said, I love Shayna. I'm okay with Nia. I love Shayna. I think Shayna is fantastic. I think she's a fantastic heel. But them as a team, it doesn't move the meter for me at all. I feel like there are some way more interesting tag teams out there, or there were before they broke everybody up, that could have done better with the titles. And I feel like this is just a stopgap because they realized, oh crap, we don't have anybody. We're breaking up Bayley and Sasha. We need to do something with these titles. So, okay, Nia, Shayna, you're a team. Here, plunk, you know, kind of thing.
It's not just Sheamus and Cesaro. It's not just Bryan and Kane they've had success with. They've had success all the time with teams just being randomly put together. Because it does work when you want to do it.
The beauty of Sheamus and Cesaro and Brian and Kane was it was the odd couple, and they hated each other in the beginning. And the way that they set both of those up is that they became friends. And you saw the story of them becoming friends and working together, like especially Team Hell No, where we had the epic level Dr. Shelby segments, and we had everything else where Brian and Kane, come hell or high water, they have to learn how to work together, and they figure it out. And that's what they're trying with Nia and Shayna, but it's not as interesting because they're not telling the story of the two of them working together. We're not even seeing the story of them hating each other. It's like once they won the titles, they just stopped telling the story. They're just there.
Lamance, I know what you meant. I'm just going to say, use creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop to go all the way back to when they were still doing it. Hell, they had Sean and Austin for a little bit, two guys who didn't get along back in the mid-90s as a team.
Austin and anybody.
Austin and Mankind were tag champs at one point. I'm just pointing out that what who have been tag champs in this company. It goes all the way back to the 90s. They've had success. It works. It's a staple of WWE programming.
And the reason why it works is because they tell a story with it. Here, they stopped telling the story. They got them up to winning the titles, and then like a week after, and then it's like, wah, 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 that's it. This is just it. So what I'm saying is I want more like story with this. I want more something with this. Not just this being on the back burner where they very clearly aren't really looking at it or doing anything with it. It's just there, right? It's just literally filler. That's what this feels like, is it's just filler. And these ladies don't deserve to be filler. And more so, Lana does not deserve to be a scapegoat. That's really the point of this. That's why we're talking about this, is it's to the point Lana's being targeted. It's becoming...
Yeah, her tone is just... Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that, man.
She's either straight talking or just screaming at the top of her lungs.
She needs someone comedic, or she needs someone with a lot of personality to play off of her. So that way, because she's more of the straight person, to a comedic role or to a bubbly person. She needs her version of Daniel Bryan. That's what she needs. And Shayna is not it. That's why Nia and Alexa work so well together, is because Alexa has a lot of personality, and that helps to compensate for Nia, who can sort of bring Alexa down a little bit, and the pairing works. Here with Nia and Shayna, they have similar personalities where Shayna's very serious, she's very snarky, she has a lot of personality, but it's much more toned down. And Nia can't do as much with that to play that off her own personality because it's very similar. So that's really kind of the problem there. But going back to Lana, I just lay off of her. Just leave her be for like a month. And I'm not saying you don't have to have her on TV, but don't put her through a table every week. Because it feels like they're targeting her. It feels like it's super suspect that they're like, oh, hey, your husband went away, so we're just going to continue to beat you up in front of him every week because we goddamn can. Go through the table now. Thanks. Bam.
So there was... Go ahead.
And I'm sure she's like okay with it, but I have to have a feeling she's not okay with it. And with the current environment in the company where there could be potential lawsuits pending, this may not be the time to bully people. I'm just saying.
So we good now?
Yes, we're good.
Strowman showed up to Raw, even though he was a SmackDown talent, to go to the Underground, but there was no Underground.
Did they paint that shirt on him?
Yes. He got it on once, can't take it off.
Apparently, because good God, it looks like it's cutting off his circulation.
So, authority figure Adam Pearce is like, I can't book you in a match because you don't work here. You're SmackDown. And then he's like, but I have a loophole. I can give you an exhibition match against Keith Lee. Or an exhibition match. And then Keith Lee walked up and went, sign me up. So with Keith Lee and Braun Strowman for a minute, they got double counted out. So that just went, okay, we're saving that for later. Then they started brawling. We had a crash through the barricade. And we went up the ramp and people were trying to break them up. Then we went, through the LED boards on the stage and all that fun brawling stuff.
Not the set. Can y'all not break the set? It's expensive.
The Underground's not shut down. Just
The Underground is in quarantine right now.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's under quarantine.
So it will be back probably next week at the earliest if everybody is okay and tests negative and that kind of thing.
They broke it up because the match was over.
I mean, I liked this segment. It didn't make a ton of sense, but I liked
it. It made zero sense. It got Braun on the show, which was the whole point, I guess.
It got Braun and Keith on the show, which, honestly, if they want to do a feud between Braun Strowman and Keith Lee, I feel like that could be highly entertaining. Just because they would be good on the mic, they could tell a nice story together, and they would have a good match together.
So, Seth Rollins came to the ring with his buddy, Murphy, his disciple, and they were talking, and then Rollins was upset that, you know, we should have talked about this earlier, and Murphy said he's done everything that Rollins asked. Murphy told Rollins that he wants to apologize to Lee, and Rollins like, no. He said I saved you, Murphy. He said he could have put out all the DMs he was sharing with Aaliyah about her true feelings, and then Rollins reminded Murphy that he is the disciple while Rollins is the Messiah. Dominic and Humberto came out, led to the tag match. Then Seth and Murphy got the win on. After the match, Murphy walked to the back without Seth Rollins, and he was very, very upset. Went backstage, and, well, he demanded that Murphy, in 1 hour, apologize. Go.
Okay. So this is the one thing I hate about wrestling, where in any other normal context, right, in any other scenario in life, if somebody broke into your phone and put your text on display for the entire world to see, you would not wait 7 days to address that with this person. Now, granted, Murphy did try last week and Seth got away. Or Seth lured him back under his spell, however you want to look at it. But they waited like 7 days to bring this up. And I'm just kind of sitting here, and it's like, so was Seth like ducking Murphy for 7 days? Was that what happened?
Well, he had his phone.
You can get a new one. You can go to a store and, you know, you can get your old phone deactivated and get a new phone issued. Like, it's not that hard to do. Just saying. Anyway, you can transfer your number too. Anyway, so my point is this is the one thing I do not like about wrestling in terms of this context, because it's like, in a normal scenario, this would be like the next episode, which would be like the next day, right? No, this is legit because it's live TV. It's 7 days later. I just feel like, especially after what happens after this, some of this feels a little suspect. Okay? I'm kind of maybe smelling a rat here. And I don't know if I'm falsely smelling a rat or if I'm actually smelling a rat. But there's just some inconsistencies that are starting to happen in this story. Like, again, I'm going to bring it up. How did Seth get into Murphy's phone? If it was, in fact, Murphy's phone. There's lots of logical answers as to how Seth got into Murphy's phone, but the likely answer is he either had the passcode or that was not Murphy's phone, right?
Maybe.
Then we cut to this week, where Murphy is back on the same page after trying to kill Seth last week with Seth, right? And he's, you know, back in the fold, in quotations, with Seth for this tag match until he walks away.
So can
and Seth's all confused.
Yeah. Can we get to part two?
And now we go to part two.
Okay. Seth Rollins comes back out. It's 10 o'clock. He says, weighing Murphy's apology. Murphy comes out. Murphy said he had a full hour to think it over, and it should be very easy for him to apologize so they can move on. Murphy stood with his folded hands, and Rollins was like, apologize. Rollins says he plucked Murphy from obscurity and changed his career. All you have to do is apologize, Murphy. This shouldn't be that difficult. I made you. I made you, and I can break you. And Murphy had enough. He tackled Rollins. They started brawling. He grabbed the Singapore cane, started whacking him with it. And then Rollins is begging off, like the heels do. And he's saying, Rollins was saying, stop, Aaliyah, wherever you are, come on. Rollins continued to apologize. Murphy dropped the stick, which is his first mistake, as Rollins got it and started gouging the eyes of Murphy. We're going back to the eyes. Rollins had the kendo stick and beat Murphy with it until he went for a chair. As that moment came, Aaliyah came to the ring, telling Rollins to stop. Dominic and his family still accompany their kids to school. and they come into the ring to stop the beating. Dominic is not happy with Aaliyah and Murphy together.
Okay.
Rollins left smirking backstage.
So, and that's the other little thing, is Rollins took his whooping and he left, right? But he left Murphy in a really advantageous position, as Aaliyah is right by Murphy comforting him with the Mysterio family. And what's the best way to, you know, get to your enemy? You keep them close. You keep them very, very, very close. In fact, you get a spy in their midst. Someone who's absolutely loyal to you. And what's the easiest way to work that in? Well, you take advantage of the 19-year-old naive girl. That's how they're telling the story, I think. And okay, I want to address this because a lot of people are uncomfortable and there's a lot of debate about this. What's going on, which is that Aaliyah is 19 years old and Murphy is 32. Number one, I had no idea Murphy was 32.
Well, it makes sense.
He doesn't look 32.
No,
he looks
younger than that. But then you count the years we've been following his career. It's been about 7-8 years. So it would make, he was started in his 20s, and it would make sense.
So I have two theories on this. I don't necessarily like that they're telling a story with this large of an age difference between the two, because there is, if I can calculate it really quick, there's a 13-year age difference, which is not, it's not awful, okay? I'm going to just go out there and say it. 13 years is not as bad as some other age differences that we've seen, aka Vince McMahon and any WWE female talent, okay?
Trish, that's at least Tori,
a 30,
etc.
40 year age difference. So 13 years really is not that bad. It's not as palpable for people because she's 19 and he's 32. If he were in his 40s and she were in her late 20s or early 30s, it would be a little bit different. I think people would be more okay with it. Or even if he was in his 30s and she was in her 20s and she was over 21, I think a lot more people would be okay with it.
I have a question. If they didn't mention her age, would people be fine with it?
Yes.
Okay.
More or less. I think we all know how this is going to go, right? Murphy's using her. Murphy's going to jilt her. Or they're going to bring her into the cult. And the only reason I feel like it's Murphy that's doing this and it's not Seth is because we all know who Seth is engaged to or married to at this point, if they in fact got married. So they can't have Seth Rollins hoeing around like Angel Garza on Becky Lynch, because nobody's going to be okay with that. So they're having Murphy do it. Because as far as we're aware, Murphy has no on-screen, off-screen love interest. Nobody knows who he's with. So in our eyes, he's single.
Yeah, I know the internet would have found out, but the internet wouldn't be the driving force on television where they keep saying she's 19. The audience of mass would not know her age.
I mean, you could look it up and you can bring it up, but they're making it at a very, very, very heavy point in this storyline to keep bringing up that she's naive and she's 19. She's a child. She needs to be protected, which I have some issue with because it's such patriarchal bullshit. Is she making a poor life choice? Probably. But here's the thing. She's a grown woman. I'm going to say it. She's a grown woman who knows her own mind, who knows what she wants to do. And God damn it, if she wants to get the 32-year-old, go with God, sweetheart. Go with God. All right, do your thing. Like, I hate, one thing I don't like about this is, oh, she's 19, she's young, she's stupid, she's naive, she's never been out in the world. Please. Please. That is such bullshit. Such bullshit. Stop telling that story.
So, we good there?
Well, no, I just want to say it. It's like, there are parts of the story that are problematic. The age difference for me is not terrible. It's the way that they're telling the age difference that is terrible. That's the issue with this storyline. Ash, I'm Catholic. At 19, I knew more about life than you would think I did, okay? Catholic means nothing. Just gonna throw that out there. Go look at the history of the Catholic Church and what some of the priests and nuns got up to back in the day, okay? We like to party. So, anyway. So, yeah. I take issue with parts of the storyline, but I don't take issue with parts of the story. I guess I'm on the line, and I don't know if that makes me a good or a bad person or not. But the whole she's 19 and she's naive is like, and her brother needs to protect her. Can we please stop that shit? Can we please just stop it? Let her have her own mind. Let her be her own person. And if she's making a poor life choice and she gets jilted, okay, she gets jilted. I think we've all been there at one point or another in our lives. But honestly, if I looked like that, I can't say I wouldn't do the same thing. And that's me. And that's my mindset. But she could be completely different. I don't know. Anyway, next match.
R-Truth was backstage and calculating the draft and trying to figure out where little Jimmy will go in the draft order. And at that time, a janitor walked up and beat R-Truth and won the 24/7 title. And R-Truth thought it was Randy. It was not Randy. It was Drew Gulak. And then later on, they were in some sort of trash can and R-Truth won back the title. That happened.
The janitors at WWE are dangerous.
They are. They're snakes. I'm going to give you three options.
Okay.
Would you like to talk about the Randy Orton situation? Would you like to talk about the whole Hurt Business storyline that happened on the show? Or would you like to talk about Bray Wyatt next?
I want to say Bray Wyatt for last.
Okay.
Because we're going to go the longest on that. Let's talk about the Hurt Business stuff, and then we can talk about the Randy stuff.
Okay. So the Hurt Business has been feuding with Apollo Crews and gang for...
months.
Ever. It seems. So we had a matchup. It was Lashley and Shelton versus Ricochet and Apollo Crews. Benjamin and Lashley got the win. Before the match, you know, MVP offered up an opportunity, a one-night-only opportunity to join the Hurt Business. Ricochet had a look on his eye. Maybe he'll do it. And he said he'll pass. They have till the end of the night to join them. So it's all continuing on, and they're still figuring it out. And it was Ali eventually challenged MVP to a match. So they're having this match. And then the lights go out, and the word retribution comes up on the screen. And you have the Hurt Business and Mustafa Ali all together in the ring. So it's like, ooh, he's joining them. And then Mustafa gets out of the ring, and then he's confronted by retribution. He looks him dead in the eye, then turns around. Says, get him. So Retribution beat down the Hurt Business because Ali is now apparently the one who runs the show.
I think we all kind of maybe suspected this a little bit just based on the last couple weeks where you've had Retribution sort of turn up when it's associated with Ali and Apollo and Ricochet. And I'm still not 100% convinced that Ricochet and Apollo aren't a part of this or will be a part of this at some point. I liked how they did this. I liked how they did the turn where you have Ali. The only thing I like really didn't like is when Ali storms right up to Dijak and
T-Bar Mace.
Dio.
T-Bar and Mace.
I am not calling them that.
They're T-Bar and Mace.
They have
along with Slapjack.
Real actual name.
T-Bar and Mace, along with Slapjack, the Retribution.
Again, they have names. I'm not.
Yes, T-Bar.
Not calling two grown men that.
T-Bar and Mace.
No. Anyway, Ali storms right up to them, looks them in the face, and you see how they're acting, and you're like, he's a part of it. He's in on it. He's in on it. He's in on it. He's in on it. Because they didn't jump him right away. They didn't do anything right away. They just kind of stood there. You're like, yep, yep, he's in on it. He's in on it. And you're waiting for it. And you're waiting for it. And you're waiting for it. And sure enough, he turns around and there he is. And it's like, okay, all right. That's an interesting twist. I'm not opposed to it. I want to see where it goes. Because I think we've been waiting for the leader of Retribution now for a while, or at least one of the leaders of Retribution for a while. It seems like they've kind of maybe heard the outcry that the gas needs to get hit on this a little bit. Because people are losing interest in it. So now they're finding ways to get people interested in it, including having Mustafa Ali leading this charge, which makes 1,000% sense why somebody like Mustafa Ali, who came in as a cruiserweight and has just kind of been pushed down and never really given a chance outside of 205 Live or main event to really do anything or shine or anything like that. I don't even think he's gotten a... Did he ever... I mean, he got a cruiserweight title shot, but he's never gotten anything else, right?
Not that I'm aware of. Nothing of importance.
Yeah, nothing of importance. He's just been pushed down and he's been with the company for years. Makes complete sense why he would be leading this. Complete sense. So it's like, okay, all right, this is getting better that you have somebody who has a legitimate gripe with the company in charge and kind of calling them out on this. So this was a really nice turn. It was a really nice surprise.
So there you go.
Also, please, somebody please tell MVP his ballin' thing does not work with her business music. I mean, I know it's his thing, and I don't want to tell him not to do his thing, but it just doesn't go with the music. That's all.
So Randy Orton opened up Monday Night Raw, and he systematically broke down what he did last week to All the Legends, which was a great promo by Randy.
Very psychological.
Then challenged Drew McIntyre to Hell in a Cell. Then Drew found where he was, and they brawled. This led to the 6-man tag team match in the main event. It was Drew McIntyre and the Street Profits versus Randy Orton, Dolph Ziggler, and Robert Roode, which saw Randy Orton pick up the win for his team.
I really hate how much I love Sinister Randy Orton. Like, I really hate it, because I really, really don't like liking Randy Orton. But it's just so good, because he does it so well. Like, that's just his thing. He just knows how to tell a story in that way, and he does that really quiet, sort of devilish, evil voice. But it's not like evil, evil. There's just a twinge of evil in his voice. And it's like there's malice in there too, and he just throws a whole bunch of stuff at you at once, and you're just like, oh, that's so nice. Thank you. Because you appreciate stuff like that. You appreciate people that know how to do that, because you watch some people and they don't know how, and you're like, oh, that could have been so much more. And then you get something like this that's just like handed to you with Randy just sitting in a very quiet room in the back. There's no one else around him. He's just sitting there in a chair, and he just cuts this very soft,
systematic,
sinister, malicious promo where he talks about what he did, and he talks about it with zero emotion. And if there is emotion, he's goddamn proud of it. And you just want to punch him in the face for it. And it's like, oh, that's so pretty. It's just so pretty. Like, Randy Orton is doing his best work right now. Legit is doing his best work. Like, I haven't seen him do stuff like this in a long time. So this was so good. And then Drew finding him, beating him up. I don't know. I feel like he's almost outperforming Drew a little bit. Like, I feel like they need to step Drew up and bring Drew up to Randy's level right now.
Problem is, Drew can't get on Randy's level. Randy's that good.
Yeah, Randy is that good.
That's the problem. Drew's doing really good work as the babyface champion. Randy's just so much better as a heel. It's the problem. He's that good.
Randy has always been a fantastic heel. Always. Especially when he does it like this, where it's just a psychopath. Yeah. It's just on par. And just there's very few people in that company that can get on Randy's level. I think that's why Cena and Randy was always so good, was because Cena could get on Randy's level in terms of being that much of a babyface that he could counteract Randy as that heel.
Yep, without a doubt.
Without a doubt. But yeah, Randy, this was beautiful. And the 6-man tag was fine.
Kevin Owens show. Kevin Owens comes out and says he feels different. He spoke about how you do actually change when the Fiend touches you, and he didn't want to cut. He was not here to talk. He was here to fight. He threw his chairs out, and he talked about being paralyzed by the mandible claw. He said he wasn't sure why the dark, tortured souls had a problem with him, because he's been feuding with Aleister Black. He wondered what's next, the Brood or the Ministry of Darkness? Yep, it's 2020. We're talking about the Ministry of Darkness.
If Taker saw this show, he threw something.
Just let my gimmick die.
He's like, just let it go. It's not coming back.
Kevin Owens called out Bray Wyatt to fight him. Bray appears in the Firefly Funhouse. Hi, Monday Night Raw. It's me, Bray Wyatt. Hi. Seems nice of Owens to have him on the show. He said, that's what friends do. And Owens, you're my new friend. We could have been, you know, we could be tossing around the ball. We could be finger painting, you know, or, you know, burying a body in the woods. That's friends. He then sung a friendship song. with it featured Mercy attacking Ramblin', because that's what you do. Owens was not here for a sing-along or the demented Mr. Rogers reboot. He wanted Bray Wyatt to come out. He said, Bray says, I don't look like bullies, and neither does he. He reminded Kevin Owens he has no idea what he's got himself into, but on SmackDown he will know. There was also mentions of what happened with Alexa, and that's none of Kevin's business.
And it's none of Funhouse Bray's business either. That's between the Fiend and Alexa.
Mm-hmm. And then he told Owens, this is a warning, because that's what friends do. They give each other warnings when bad things are about to happen. Bray disappeared. Kevin wanted Bray, so he was going to find Bray Wyatt. As he goes to find Bray, Aleister Black attacks him with a black mask. One good tease for Friday. Really good setup for Friday. Strong promo from Bray. Kevin did one of the best jobs selling Bray Wyatt too. All right, go. That's my opinions. Your turn.
I find it really interesting that the story really centers around what happens to you when you encounter the Fiend. Because we've seen the change, and we've seen it in people. Every person that Bray touches or feuds with, they change. And that's just a natural, that's a given. We all expect it. We all know it's coming.
Except for Goldberg. He's just an asshole.
Yeah, he left, so it's fine. That was his change. He left. And hopefully he doesn't come back. No offense.
No,
anyway.
Two matches a year. He'll be back next WrestleMania.
Well, as long as he's not back with Bray, it's fine. Anyway, we all see the change except for Goldberg. What I find interesting about this story is we're seeing the change in Alexa. We're seeing the very slow, gradual change in Alexa where the Fiend has taken over her. And she and one controls the other. Question is, does the Fiend control Alexa or does Alexa control the Fiend? That's between the two of them. We're going to find that out. I appreciate so much of what they did in this. I appreciate Kevin Owens and how absolutely serious he was through this whole thing. And him talking about that change in that story and how he's feeling. And how he's just angry. And he wants to fight. He wants to fight Bray Wyatt. He wants him. Right? For some unexplicable reason. Beyond what happened on Friday where the Fiend attacked Kevin. The Fiend is now bringing out that fighting instinct in Kevin to have him come after him. Which, again, there was so much in this. And then there's Bray. Okay, I'm just going to ask this question. How long is it going to take for us to get a cinematic match with Bray Wyatt, and I mean this in all seriousness, that involves song and dance numbers? Because I feel like this entire quarantine cinematic era that we're in right now is kind of a waste if we do not get a cinematic with Bray Wyatt doing some sort of song and dance number. I mean,
he's done the Muscle Man dance.
He's done the Muscle Man dance. He sang for us tonight. We got the Song of Friendship tonight. So, I don't know, but I very much want to see that in my life. I want to see that happen. I loved Bray's reaction to Kevin. I like just how, in Kevin's seriousness, Bray was the complete exact opposite. But he was still Bray until he got serious. And no, Bray Wyatt does not kiss and tell. Especially when it comes to the Fiend's business. He does not kiss and tell. I loved that. I love that Bray, that they basically have it where it is two distinct personalities. And the Funhouse version does not talk about the Fiend. Does not spread the Fiend's business. That in reality, the Funhouse version of Bray is probably just as afraid of the Fiend as everybody else, which is just yes. I love this so much. I loved everything about this. I'm really curious to see what happens in the draft with Bray Wyatt. If they move him to Raw or they keep him on SmackDown and they maybe move Kevin over, or maybe they have Bray go back and forth for a while. I don't know, but this was just, I liked the setup for this. I like how they're setting up Bray Wyatt versus Kevin Owens, which I believe is a feud we've never seen before.
No.
And I think we've been waiting for, because it's like you have two people who can really shine on the mic and really shine in the ring, and it's going to be physical and they're just going to beat the crap out of each other. But yeah, this is going to be good. good, guys. This is going to be so good. And somewhere in that mix, Alexa Bliss is going to factor in. They're very slowly intertwining Bray Wyatt and Alexa together. And they're bringing them together. But they're being very careful to keep them apart as well. There's some really nice storytelling going on there. And I appreciate that wholeheartedly. So yeah, so this was good. And then I like how as Kevin leaves, there's still that lingering problem of Aleister Black. And Aleister Black's like, oh, hey, buddy, how's it going? You want to go after him? Yeah, no, I don't think so. We're not done. And then he kicks him in the face. So I think maybe Bray might be coming to Raw, or they could just be setting stuff up for down the road. We'll have to see. But yeah, this was everything you could ever want. This was so nice. I was a little sad when this went on because this went on about the midpoint of the show.
9 o'clock.
And I really wanted this to go on later. Like, but I get why they put it where they put it was because it's going to have the stronger rating. So yeah. And last but certainly not least, I need to address something. I need to say my piece on this. As I sit here and watch the Atlanta Falcons lose to Football Husband and the Packers, which, by the way, Aaron Rodgers, you're looking fine tonight. Thank you. Anyway, can we as a city, I'll include y'all because you're here with me in Atlanta. Can we have a now very serious discussion about Coach Bro and his team? And maybe we make a few changes. Just maybe, because the Falcons are now going to be 0-4. And I get it's a scuff season and there was no preseason and there's 15,000 excuses as to why they're 0-4. But, like, they didn't even blow a lead in this game. They never had the lead. The Packers done showed up and were like, oh, hi! We're just here to kick your ass. And that's pretty much what happened. So, you know, can we have a very serious discussion as a city about where our football team happens next or goes next? And can we just, like, kill our season? Is that even a possibility? Can we just be like, you know what? We can't rebound from this. There's just no way. So, you know what? We're good. We're gonna go back to the drawing board for next year, and we're just gonna think about this a little bit, okay? See y'all next year. Bye. Like, can we just do that, please? Because this is just... God, this is so painful to watch. Like, they've taken Aaron Rodgers out of the game.
No, because Atlanta has the ball.
But there's a minute 30 left. They're not even probably going to put him back in. Why are you guys trying? You're down.
Please, stop trying. I'm like the most... Why? I'm the most interested person in this game. Please, stop trying. Please.
I mean, I appreciate that they're trying, but it's 30-16 with less than a minute at this point to go. Like... Just stop.
Like, no.
Stop. It's already over. It's been over for 15 minutes.
I need to explain this. I am up 1 point in my fantasy league right now. If Calvin Ridley touches the ball, I'm screwed.
What number is Calvin Ridley?
I don't know. But he almost scored a touchdown on the last drive, and I would have been screwed. So can we not? Anyway, we're done here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, Cleveland... Cleveland, are you done celebrating yet? I'm just kind of curious because you know Cleveland erupted after the Browns beat the Cowboys like a drum. Like a damn drum. Good Lord.
Fumble. Down. Now he's down. That should be game. Anyway, that's us. This has been the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thursday night, we're talking NFL. We're talking WWE Draft, NXT, and that much more live. At 10 p.m. Eastern. You can also check out the Rack Extra Reviews NBA 2K21. But else, so Lindsay, I think we're going to have the Rack Extra Reviews WWE Battleground this week, too.
We are. So if you missed it on Saturday in place of Fortnite with friends, we played WWE 2K Battlegrounds for you guys. We went over the game. We kind of showed you how it works. We had a little fun with it. So if you want to see that, if you want to check it out, it's here in the VODs on the Twitch channel, and you can watch that. But we're also going to be doing a formal review, which we will be recording this week.
And more to come. Saturday night, midnight edition, CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GrayTheGreatDemand.com. If they would like to talk wrestling, it's Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday for Raw Push, 11 p.m. Eastern. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming, and you can subscribe for free. by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. Use creator code ROCKETSOCK at the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad. Hashtag epic partner. At Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
Sorry, I took a drink of water. And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LANSWRD.
This has been the Raw Potion live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. She's Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday for the Rock. And right back here for the Raw Potion every Monday night. Along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at wildtalkradio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.